This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago, and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only. When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
So I've been writing fiction again for the first time in like a decade.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's a different process. Like screenwriting is all about story and structure and dialogue, obviously. And with fiction, I find myself, you know, getting more word obsessed, like vocabulary obsessed, which is a trap. It's like
I was going to say, that's the worst.
Oh,
that's,
my
you
God.
Already just made me feel like I'm not going to want to read.
Yep. So what I do is like, you know, I'll start going down some thesaurus rabbit hole.
Oh, no.
And like often it'll start with like, well, what's another word for I know that. And then, of course, it just becomes fun to like look up other words, which mean other words.
Sure.
And then what is that? And then it changes the whole sentence and then changes the whole paragraph. And then before you know it, I've wasted 45 minutes and I found myself in a vocab hole. So then the other night, like, you know, everybody in my household is asleep and I'm awake and I'm like, oh, I need this thing. And I have start to go on Amazon thinking, well, this will be an easy thing. And I find myself not able to find what I need. Mm. And I realize I am having a vocab problem. And I start going down the thesaurus rabbit hole to shop. So I want to see if you guys can get this. I think you will way quicker than I will. I want to see if you guys can figure out what I needed and how and the word that I needed to find it. Okay, so I've got this new office like outside of my house now. We converted this little like outside thing into my office.
Okay.
And it's been a whole process. I put in a skylight. I put in the bookshelves. The skylight leaked during the last rains. Like, you know, it's just, but also like I just had to reorganize my life, like get my stuff in here and figure. And of course, I don't have a bathroom. I don't have water. I don't have coffee.
So
like I'm constantly walking back to my house for all of these things, right? And I'm like, okay, I need something to carry a thermos, because I have a thermos now for my coffee, a water bottle, and my laptop computer.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I wanted. I wanted something with handles so I could grab it with one hand. Because, you know, I have a backpack, but I didn't want to put on my backpack every time I get and stuff my backpack. So I was like, I want something that I can, like, pick up with one hand with handles and carry a thermos, a water bottle, and my laptop computer, at least, back and forth to the house.
So, wait, I
go on to Amazon.
Is it like when you say like a rolly thing? Are you talking like a tray? Like a
So we have satchel and we have tray, right? Both good suggestions.
Okay,
oh,
but that's not what you're looking for.
Trays weight just flat, no handles, right? They're just like, and I don't want to have to carry it with two arms, right?
But like a satchel, trolley, you'd want a trolley.
You think wheels? No, I can't do wheels because it's all a rocky
dirt path.
Right. What are those things called that have a handle in the middle? And it's like I'm pick, and then a bunch of compartments around it.
Right. I think you're getting there. You're so
you know, like
Like
I've seen them because and so what?
And
would
they
be
make those
called?
For bathrooms a lot, actually.
Correct.
For like shampoo
for when
and
you were in college and you
you're looking
from...
for a caddy. You're looking for a caddy.
You guys got there.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha.
A caddy.
You're looking for a caddy.
I went through so much pain and misery because I tried tray. Then it was like no, it's got to have handle. So basket.
Right.
Don't basket, too much, you know. Satchel, that took me down like purses and like over the shoulder bags.
Attaché,
can't do that.
Play, case, yeah.
Then I'm like, okay, it's a tote, right? I want a tote. But guess what tote gives you? Just reusable shopping bags.
Stuff,
and nothing that has like a hard bottom.
Stuff.
So you can, right. Then I was like, a valet, right? It's got to be masculine. No, valets are like little trays that you have like to put all your stuff in, but to leave it there.
Yeah,
no
they go
handles.
Next to your sink. You can put your watch. Right. You put all that.
So
kind of stuff.
I just was going down this, and like tote came the closest, but it never had a hard bottom. And yes, caddy was the thing.
Okay.
Did you get a caddy?
Look at my beautiful caddy.
Wow, that is a beautiful caddy,
right?
It really is. Let me see the inside. Okay. So I see. Okay. So in the middle, is that where you put your laptop?
Yeah. So I put, well, actually, it's got a little compartment for the laptop, so I can do that. So then I can just have the middle for books and stuff, and then my water bottle. And then I've got this little guy for my thermos. Oh, but it, 45 minutes, easily 45 minutes of just rabbit hole Googling the word. And I finally landed on caddy. And I was like, oh, a caddy.
Right.
Oh, there you
so
go.
To explain to our dear listeners what it looks like, how big would you say that rectangle is?
I don't know. Like
what is that?
A foot
Two
and a half
feet by a foot? Yeah.
That's what
like
I was
that.
Gonna
yeah.
say. Okay. Yeah. It's a it's gray, right?
Nice with leather brown. Handles.
It's like that felt material that it's like nice. And then it has a hard bottom.
Probably fake leather handles.
Yeah. Probably.
Wow. Really nice.
Glorious. Today's my first usage of it.
And it's a beautiful caddy. So far. It's a beautiful caddy.
Thank you. So now I'm gonna
caddy.
Be you can see me caddying. Back and forth
nope,
from my house.
That's not how you use that word.
I don't think that's accurate.
Well, let's look it up.
You're still walking and you're carrying a caddy.
I don't know. I think caddy and can enter
everything. Vocab. Everything you said though is still better than vocab hole, which I still can't get out of my head. So yeah, very strange.
You do not want to nosh on a vocab hole.
Oh man. That actually sounds delicious. That's kind of exactly what
I would writer love. Wants to do.
Oh, writer just wants to nosh
just
in a vocab
hole. Fall into a vocab vortex.
Oh, yeah.
And not actually get any writing done and just feel like, ooh, I could just play here all
but
day.
Feel good about yourself anyway.
I'm so smart. I'm learning so much.
Look at all these words I know.
Look at all these words I can grab onto and how do they feel?
Oh, God.
How do they taste in my mouth? All these different words, like try them out. Nosh on some vocab.
I think it's just the word nosh that's throwing me all
know,
the time.
It's always a problem.
Nosh is just, it's a problematic word. Welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle Fischel.
I'm Ryder Strong.
I'm Wilfred Al.
Oh, welcome to this recap of season 4, episode 13, B and B's B&B. What is this title?
I don't get the title.
I kept waiting for it to be explained because I had the same memory. I was like, why is it called B&B's? But
so
who's B&B?
It was, it was written by Blutman and Busgang.
Oh, that's got to be it then. That's got to be it then.
Is it Blutman and Busgang's B&B?
It has to be. That's so great.
Has to be. Yeah, that's
it's
it.
It's so inside for
that's
a name
so cool.
of an episode.
Yeah. But you know that that's what it was called while they were pitching story ideas. And they were like, we could always do B&B's B&B episode. Like, that's hysterical.
I'm going to call. I'm going to text Blutman. I have to know. I want an answer from him.
It has to be.
I kept waiting for Corey and Sean to like refer to each other with like pet names or something. Like yeah. Boo and blah, blah, yeah. And like then it would just become the story.
Well, but, I was trying to think if there was another nickname for Sean that could start with a B, and it could have been Boy and...
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Best friend. Like, yeah, actually, that's... Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah, yeah.
Or Buddy
and BF. Yeah.
Yeah. BFFs, B and B would have worked.
It's,
yeah.
Totally it's gotta Blumman be Blumman and Busgang.
It has to be. That's a good call.
And you're right, I can totally picture, you're right, that they probably said, we have a B&B episode, and they started calling it B&B's B&B episode, yep. And it, yep. And then it became just, that's the name of it.
Right.
Okay.
Or
so,
somebody else pitched it, and they were like, well, who are we going to give it to? Well, B&B. B&B. Hey.
Yeah. Right.
And
yeah,
they
right.
just thought that was too funny to not be. Do.
So it originally aired January 3rd, 1997. The synopsis, with Mr. Feeney out of town, Sean has the brilliant idea to finish his economics project by turning Feeney's house into a bed and breakfast. Also, Eric stumbles into an unlikely new friendship. It was directed by Jeff McCracken. It was written, as we mentioned, by Mark Blutman and Howard Busgang. And guest starring the legendary Len Lesser as Arnie Heck. You definitely know him as Uncle Leo on over a dozen episodes of Seinfeld. The minute I saw him, I was like, that guy, I know him very well yeah. from something. What is
it? Oh, you didn't know? You didn't know what it
and
was?
No, I couldn't figure out what it was. And then I was like, oh my gosh, he's Uncle Leo.
Well, they did a straight up Seinfeld reference. They did a straight, like
oh,
they
really?
Walk in and they have him Seinfeld right away. So it's, yeah.
It's funny because Seinfeld is one of those things I've seen maybe like a dozen episodes and I've really enjoyed it, but I've never been a completist. And yet you can't help but absorb everybody from Seinfeld into the culture.
Characters.
So,
totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So the second I saw him, I was like, well, this guy, do I only remember him from Boy? I was like, no, he's been in everything. And that's probably what it was.
Yep.
Just absorbed it.
Yeah. They didn't try to hide it this time with the Seinfeld references at all.
He was also Garvin on Everybody Loves Raymond, and because we would be here all day if I listed off all his credits, here is just a small list of TV shows he has appeared on. Gunsmoke, Get Smart, The Monkees, All in the Family, and Bonanza. Ugh. He passed away in 2011 at the age of 88. And then we have Dina Dietrich as Gloria Heck. She was Dorothy's sister, Gloria, on The Golden Girls, and appeared in Mel Brooks' History of the World Part 1, but is best known as Mother Nature in chiffon margarine commercials that ran for the entire decade of the 1970s. And she passed away in 2020 at the age of 91.
That's a reference none of us get, right?
No, I don't even know what chiffon margarine is.
I don't know. Yeah, I know what margarine
70s
is.
Commercials, we wouldn't, yeah.
She's apparently like the Flo, but of the 1970s.
Right. That makes sense.
And then we have Michelle Clooney as the bartender, Kelly. She's in The Usual Suspects and is best known as Melanie Marcus on the U.S. adaptation of Queer as Folk. And as the biology teacher, Mrs. Finch, on MTV's Teen Wolf. And then we have Gladys Holland as Mrs. Nona Timmer. She was in Roland Emmerich's Stargate movie, and she passed away in 2017. Mm. So of our four guest stars, three have left us since we taped the show. I did just get confirmation that it is Blutman and Busgang's B&B.
Gotcha, you called that, Danielle. Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby. When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago, and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work!
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending!
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
Let's jump into our recap. Overall thoughts?
Do you want me to start? Mm-hmm.
You start, Will.
I liked it. I thought it was an enjoyable episode. I remembered the B storyline in this episode not at all. And when I mean not at all, I mean when Eric first walks down the stairs in the first scene, I thought, oh, they're just getting Eric out and he's not going to be in this episode. Okay. I mean, when I say not at all, I have not even the slightest vague inkling of this B story.
Isn't that funny? Because I actually remembered it more.
Oh my God. I remembered the A story because you guys were so funny. I did not remember. I liked the B story, but man, I did not remember any of this.
I did. The second you sat at the bar and did the sliding the beer thing or the root beer, whatever, I was like, whoa, I remember this.
Oh God, nothing. So I mean, nothing. Yeah. It was weird. But overall, I was enjoyable. I liked it.
I remember this week so well because of the new sets, because we had this hotel bar set. And then, of course, we finally have the interior of Feeney's house. And then there's moments like I still know that song, I still know the Dutch and all of that, but I thought it was funnier in my mind. Like in my mind it was a bigger, funnier, sort of more crazy episode, and I was actually like, oh, it's short, it's just kind of cute and like cool, and it's fine. But I didn't love it. It falls into a habit, maybe for the first time, that the whole the universe thing. Like right. I feel like that becomes a
that.
Trope
yeah.
for
yeah.
a lot of Boy Meets World, and especially in Girl Meets World. And I don't love that trope. And I think here it's fine and funny, but of course I'm just already kind of exhausted by it, even though this is the first time we've seen it in our recaps. So when that came up, I was like, oh, is this gonna be the thing? And of course that becomes the thing to carry us through the last two scenes. And I don't know. I just felt easy and sort of like, oh, but I don't know if that's, like I said, my exhaustion from knowing that it's going to be a recurring theme forever.
What's interesting is that I actually love the idea of a character who I am obsessed with order in the universe and that things need to happen in this order. What I don't love is the direct looking up to the heavens and like, do you hear me now? Maybe one of those in a series is a fine joke, but the continuing to go back to it as opposed to just the character being like, no, I feel unnerving because this is the way justice is. There has to be justice in the world. I like that as a character thing, but you're right. I don't enjoy the looking up to the heavens and keep going back to that. But I actually did really enjoy this episode. I thought it was really fun to see Sean relaxed
And dumb again. Dumb, but street dumb, smart. That combination.
Yes. Capable. And also the thing we all love is Corey getting suckered stressed into something Corey. Where he's stressed out and nervous about it. I really love that. I also will. I have zero memory of this episode. Not even.
Well, your part is so great. Topanga gets so much to do.
It's not just
that.
She is
just a full-fledged, like, interesting dynamic. It's,
they officially, once again, have no idea who Topanga is.
No idea.
You thought they were going somewhere with Topanga in the earlier episodes. Like, oh, they're actually going to develop
a character. And then can we get her in a French maid costume? Can we find a way to make that work?
And she's a rule breaker, and none of it makes any sense. They have no idea who Topanga is officially again. None. It's weird.
I mean, it's a farce. Everything is, you know, just thrown out the window for good laughs. That's the point.
Yep.
It's fine. You know?
It's a romp. And it's fun.
Yeah.
It is fun.
I do think that the universe thing, like listening to you talk about it, it's really a sleight of hand writing trick, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's a way to keep the tension alive, but also resolve it all without having to actually resolve it all. And so it's funny. And I think it works now, you know, but if we keep doing this, you know, and I have a feeling we do, where it's like, just going to work out.
It was truly Riley's character defining thing in Girl Meets World, that she regularly was like, no, the universe wants this.
Right.
We'll see. We'll see how much it comes into play. Jumping into our recap, we start in the Matthews kitchen. Eric is walking downstairs with a suitcase and a briefcase. Mm-hmm. You have a briefcase.
Of course.
Alan is right behind him. Eric is going to Boston for the camping show. And his dad doesn't want to hear that meetings were missed because Eric was at the hotel bar dancing on tables. And the audience gives a big laugh for that joke.
The audience was pumping this episode.
There was all over the place.
And...
But this first cut was very odd to me. It cuts to you with like a open mouth face and the audience is already laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, did they cut a line?
I thought the same thing.
I thought maybe you had a response and then they just kind of cut it for time or whatever. Or what I realized was that
they can see his face.
But also, what happens next is, you know, the book that, like, how to make yourself look innocent. And so they had already knew that was coming because this was take two or three. And when you give your open mouth innocent look, they went already because there are, like, a prepped audience that's already seen take one. So I realized, like, after the fact, that might be all that's happening. It was an awkward edit, though, either way.
I want another take on that. My face could have been way funnier. That wasn't innocent. You could have done, like, a funnier innocent face for that.
But your shocked, indignant face already got a laugh. And I was kind of weird. They knew it was coming.
I remembered nothing of this episode, I was like, oh, well, that was fun to play Eric in this episode. It's nice seeing everybody.
You had finals.
That was it. Yep, that was finals week because it's all going to be about Sean and Corey. I was like, all right, prepared for that. And then it was, oh, God, there's a whole other storyline.
A whole storyline.
It's so weird. I remember so many of Bill's lines.
Oh, my God.
I remember none of this.
Of course, Bill in this episode.
He's great. He's amazing.
Wow, is this. It's just a clinic.
He's so good.
But
he's so good.
I think part of the reason I remember it is because Bill is... he's one of these actors, and I'm sure we've talked about this a little bit, but day one, the performance is there.
Mm-hmm.
Day one, table read.
Yeah.
Day one, memorized. Never changes. And so if the lines don't change, you hear that. So I feel like, oh, I saw these lines and these monologues, you know, these storytelling beats told exactly the same way all week long. And I think that's why they're so ingrained in my brain, you know. And yet, it still feels fresh. It still feels...
He's just so good.
He's just the consummate television actor. I mean, actor in general, but for television, he is just, there's not a false beat, and yet it was so consistent and good.
But these are my favorite Bill scenes I ever did with him, and that's why I'm amazed that I don't remember this at all. Because it's just the two of us talking, him imparting wisdom, us now starting to talk more like colleagues and it's really friends and it's really amazing, and that's why I was like, how do I not remember this at all? This is what I love. This is my favorite thing ever, and none of it.
So Eric is aghast. For you to even suggest that I would blow off the camping show to go party hardy in Boston, that speaks volumes about our relationship. And then Corey appears. Apparently Eric forgot his book, How to Act Innocent When Your Father Accuses You. Eric smiles awkwardly and admits, "Guess I better read it again," giving a goofy, forced grin before giving up the act, and then he leaves for his big trip.
Funnier joke, by the way, I thought about this, is it should have been the cliff notes of that book.
Oh, that's clever.
That is funny.
Just very quick, very small thing.
Should have read the real thing.
I should have read the real thing. Should have read the whole book. Yeah.
I knew the cliff notes was too much of a cheat.
Yeah, should have read the whole book.
That's funnier.
That's good.
You're right.
Better joke.
Punch up. Little punch up. Feeny bolts in, panicked, as he greets the family, then quickly asks if there's a lock on the back door. Just then, Sean barges in. Feeny sighs. Too late. Sean is frantic. "I don't get the assignment. I want to drop economics. Business, figures, numbers. I just can't keep it in my head. Woo, woo." Do you remember doing this?
Nope. Woo, woo.
It's a woo-hoo.
Woo-hoo.
It is a woo-hoo.
Yeah. Feeny tells him it's simple. All he needs to do is create a business, pretend he's running it, and write a report. Sean feigns an understanding before revealing he still doesn't get it. Woo, woo. He begs, "Let me drop the course. No hunter has ever made it in business. Why cause me agony?" Feeny shrugs. "I like it." He tells Sean to sit because it's quiet time. Feeny hands Amy his house keys. He's thankful she's looking after things while he's away this weekend. Amy asks if there's a number at the hotel where they can reach him, just in case. And Feeny responds, "I'm actually staying at a lovely bed and breakfast." Corey chimes in, "Good for you, living in someone else's house, eating someone else's food." And we notice Sean sitting right next to him, drinking the Matthews apple juice and eating their banana.
Back to season one, eating.
I love it. Yep. I love it so much. Unfazed, Sean asks Feeny, "What's that run you, like $2? Amy sighs, "A room and a nice bed and breakfast can go for as high as $200 a night. Feeny reveals, "Not this one." And I didn't understand. Is that supposed to be that his is more expensive or
no? I think it's less expensive. I think what they were trying, and because we're now dealing with 2024 prices and things, $200 a night for something doesn't sound to, but in 1997, what they're essentially saying is some of those can go for $800 a night. And Feeny's like, "Not this one." I think that was what they were going with.
Right. Like, I couldn't afford $200 a night.
Right. Exactly. On a teacher's salary.
Got it. Sean mutters, $200 a night. Wow. He might have a plan. Feeny unveils multiple flashcards he's made to indicate what needs to be taken care of while he's gone, like plants to water, plants that need vitamins, and plants that need to be rotated to get morning sun. He kisses Amy on the cheek, saying she'll do fine before running out the door. Amy throws Feeny's flashcards on the table and turns to the boys. Just don't kill them.
Just don't kill them. Great. It's a great joke.
It's a great joke. This whole thing, I mean, it's character-based. It's believable. Yep. It's giving Betsy something to do, something to react to. It's just good writing and good acting. Yeah. And I was also so reminded of the Feeny cabin episode, like almost identical setup. Like, yeah, here are my keys for the thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
take care of it.
Let's see what happens.
Corey and Sean are going to grab those keys.
I know.
But then we actually don't. So I was like,
No, you don't actually grab them. We don't see any of that. But we do see new set alert. Feeny's house.
Feeny's house.
The house of wood. Where he eats salad alone. Uh-huh. I could not stop pausing for details.
Yeah. I know, there were some great ones.
Did you guys look around the house a little? Did you pause?
I was dying to see. So there is, and I couldn't see who it was. There is a framed picture on the mantle.
Is it the Asian woman who looks like...
Is she Asian? I couldn't tell because it's such low def. I can't see who it is.
I thought it looked like maybe an Asian woman in a kimono, or it could have been a person in a cap and gown.
Oh, cap and gown makes more sense, right?
But it was hard. It was hard to tell. The low def is bad.
You can't tell.
I did not understand what was going on in Feeny's house, and then there was a framed woman on the mantle who could have been Carrie Russell if Carrie Russell had straight hair.
Maybe ex-students.
Maybe.
That have been important
to
him.
I really was just trying to find the dead bodies to see if there were any.
Is there a map? Here's where I buried the fifth graders.
Here they are.
The eighth graders are over here.
The planters.
Oh my God.
There's also like an eagle crest with a little American flag in the middle of of it above the fireplace.
Above the fireplace. He's very patriotic.
I didn't love this set. And I wasn't sure if it was just the set decoration or the lack of
like recognition that we're in Feeney's house.
Right.
I mean, I know I say it, but it just didn't feel like as much of a thing. Well, maybe because we're already there. Like maybe it should have been us opening the door and being like, oh,
I'll tell you
here.
What, we should have started on more of a master and there should have been a camera move.
Yeah.
It should have been a set piece. It is a set.
A reveal. It just didn't feel,
it started
felt like,
on
oh,
Corey
we're here.
Watering a plant.
Yeah.
And there was no like, wow, the inner sanctum of Feeney.
Totally. And then, you know, and I think this is partly because it has to become a B&B. It doesn't have that much personal touch.
I know.
That's what I was going to say.
It does feel like a hotel lobby.
It does.
Right.
It feels like they tried to do Feeney so much that it wasn't really Feeney. Does that make sense?
They
like it's too generic Feeney as opposed to specific Feeney.
It was a caricature of Feeney for the house where it was like, okay, everything's wood. There's a credenza.
There are also so many plants. We could have been in a nursery.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, there's so many plants.
And not really well placed, just kind of there as
haphazard.
Like
a tomato plant hanging in the middle of a spot.
Yeah.
So Corey is watering a plant while Sean investigates. What are you doing? It's just a house. Sean disagrees. This is Feeney's house. There's got to be, I don't know, some shrunken heads, some eyeballs in jars. Corey questions why he'd have that. And Sean explains, he took them from me last year. Great writing.
Funny.
Love it. Sean gives up. I'm going to go jump on Feeney's bed just like I've always dreamed of. Corey continues the chores when he sees his history paper sitting on the table, conveniently accompanied by a red pen. He exclaims, Feeney, you fool. He picks up the paper and reads, Corey, you fool, put down the paper and step away from my walnut credenza.
I know, the credenza had to come back.
Credenza.
I don't get this joke. I don't get
the joke. Credenza?
No, I get the walnut credenza. What was Corey going to do?
Paper.
Right, but Feeney's not going to know that he's going to walk in and see that Corey's paper is graded an A and go, I must have done that and not remember.
That's
that
why he wrote on it, Corey, you fool.
It just makes it's not a great joke to me where it's like, because none of that makes any sense. It just doesn't make any sense.
I think it's totally just a callback to, I think they loved in the Singled Out episode, the like,
yes,
my plaid valise at the airport.
Exactly.
I think it's like a play on that, Corey, like, you fool. Like even
the
way
it's
written.
A test or a quiz or something upcoming where it's like, this isn't for you, Corey. Don't worry. You know, because finding his own paper to grade doesn't make any sense.
I also was like, wait a minute. How he was so sure Amy was taking care of the plants. Why is he leaving a note
for
Corey in here?
I know. I had all the thoughts too. Guys, relax. It's a TV show. It's a kids show. My God.
You're right, Ryder. Thank you.
Seriously. It's nice that you're always the voice of reason, Ryder.
I'm the voice of good times, relaxation, and reason. Just have fun.
Wow,
just
you really were in the thesaurus, weren't you?
What are we doing?
Down in your vocab hole.
God.
It's just a show from
kids.
TGIF.
Have fun!
Okay, all right. You're
don't make me grumpy about having fun.
Sean screams from upstairs, then appears back on the stairs. It's okay. I thought I saw a poster of me, but it's just a mirror.
That's my favorite line of the whole show. That's my favorite line of the whole show.
Hysterical joke.
So funny.
That is, I was like, what?
This is, I mean.
Yeah. A
best
plus
line
writing.
Of the whole show. Best line
a
of the whole show.
Funny.
Plus joke. He says the house is nothing like he's ever dreamed of. It's 3 bedrooms, beautifully decorated, but the best part, he's got a 6-foot round tub. Corey points out, the man's got a bathe. Sean adds, with jets. Corey raises his eyebrows. Oh, kooky.
What?
I don't know. Sean announces he has an idea for his economics project and leaves. So Corey tries to continue watering the plants, only to admit, I don't want to be alone in here. And he quickly darts out of the house, spilling water as he goes.
Everywhere.
Did you guys notice the water?
On the pink carpet.
I know. Interesting carpet
It is
choice.
Like a pink carpet. Yeah.
And then we see the Boston Hotel exterior with a fancy limo and a painted out awning. Wow. Eric sits down at the hotel bar, explaining to the bartender that his name is Dylan
Eric
Hightower.
Eric in turtleneck.
Oh, yeah.
Turtleneck Eric.
This is definitely the 90s where you got the suit and like the mock tee or the turtleneck on.
I think it looks good, but it's just so funny because we just did the one-woman show where
with the turtleneck.
So it's funny that we went from mocking it to
embracing
now, like,
he
you know,
also wore
it.
A turtleneck on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. We're in peak turtleneck phase.
Yeah,
at this
we're
point.
in Eric's turtleneck phase.
I mean, are turtlenecks a problem? Is this like
Because I used to wear a turtleneck and it was cool. And now, like, if I ever consider a turtleneck, my wife just says no.
I love turtlenecks on men. I do love them on women. Yeah. Susan, Will's wife, wears a turtleneck better than anyone I've ever seen.
She loves it.
And I have tried to then emulate Susan, and I have bought turtlenecks, and I look terrible in a turtleneck.
But men can't wear turtlenecks.
It's not
in
cool.
any era, or like it's not cool.
It's not cool. It's not cool. It looks a little dweeby on a man. There's like something a little dweebish about a turtleneck on a man.
Okay.
But if you love it, do what you want. I you know, honestly, I at this
I
point
thought
in
Will
our
looks
lives,
damn good in this.
He
episode.
Does. He so, does look.
He's
great.
Pulling off a turtleneck.
Yeah, he is. He's pulling it off.
But it's the '90s.
It's the '90s. It was it's a little.
And
I'm
like 19, so it's
correct.
Easier
Youth
than being 47.
At least you're not like swimming in your suit like I am for the rest of this episode.
I know you but you know what?
Oh my God.
I even like that because it's a little mob bossy. It feels
totally
a little like
a
mob.
I'm like a full on zoot suit.
You
is,
get your great. Suits at the same place you buy your JNCO jeans.
I wonder if that was me being like, can I just get something baggier? I totally could have said that. I would have been like, I want
to
be comfortable.
I still need to be able to fit my keys in the pocket.
There's no room for a novel in this suit.
That's so true.
So Eric says he's Dylan Hightower, and he's the CEO of a mid-sized venture capital group. He adds, you might look for me on the cover of next month's Forbes.
Forbes.
Again, great joke. So funny. Really well written. The bartender laughs. You're just out of high school. You work for your daddy. This is your first convention, and it's pronounced Forbes.
What came first, Will? Because this is something that you've definitely absorbed into your actual humor. The mispronunciation of words.
I love it.
You do it all the time, and it's one of my funniest bits, and it never fails to work. Uh-huh. And yet, I realized Eric did it, because Yale, and Forbes, and you do this all the time, and it's
what came first. I think it was me in my personal life. I think it's
and
me.
And they brought it into the...
I think so.
It's such a Will thing, and I'm like, whoa, it was on the show.
Yeah.
It's so funny
to see.
It is.
So she asks what his real name is, and Eric is exposed. I'm not telling. The bartender asks, so what are you drinking, mystery boy? Eric tells her, brewski. She asks, root brewski? If that's all you're allowed to give me, then sure, Eric agrees. She pours the root beer in a glass and then adds, but I will do this. She slides the glass across the bar, and a different hand catches it. We hear a voice. I believe you're supposed to catch it, Mr.
Awkward
Matthews.
Camera shot alert.
I know. Yep. What happened there?
Just trying to stage the reveal, and you know that they just went, bigger, bigger. No. Right. We can't see him. We have to, it was just like, and it became a whole thing.
But there almost seemed like there was a cut in the middle of the slide. It was like, it wasn't one continuous shot. And I guess,
this is a tough set. I mean, you can see that they had to adjust. They had to pull off the wall, like, because they decided they were going to be two scenes in here. There's a scene later where you guys are seated at the downstage table, but then they wanted to have this bar scene. So it is a well-designed set, but what that means is they had to pull the camera right wall out and get a camera up there to get that to have you guys. And it's just kind of, it does feel a little awkward, it's because it's
stagey
in that
regard. But the whole scene kind of feels awkward, only because it's rare to see two characters on camera where me, for instance, where I'm downstage at my back.
Right.
I know.
Right. And that's why they have to get the camera upstage in order to shoot you. And it just feels, it turns the fourth wall changes, right?
Yeah.
So it can't help but feel a little jarring if you don't connect it. It's an interesting thing. Yeah.
But again, I loved just Bill and I working together, and they're really, now it's off to the races with Eric and Feeney, which I love so
and
much.
And I really did not remember that. I remember, I mean, you had mentioned it when we first started the podcast, that some of your favorite stuff was working with Bill. And I remember thinking like, yeah, I know you guys work together, but I truly did not remember how much they set you guys up like a buddy comedy.
Yeah. And it's not just wacky Will all the time. It seems like this, where it's a real
think about friendship. It, at this point too, though, we're the only characters that aren't paired up. So, you got Corey and Sean. Now Topanga's coming in the mix. So it's Corey, Sean, and Topanga. Amy's got Alan. They all have their
thing. Tony's gone.
So you've got Eric kind of floating in the wind, and you've got Feeney kind of floating in the wind. And somehow when it just worked, that it was like, what if we put those two together?
Yep. Yeah. Classic good storytelling. Like take two characters who are extreme opposites, force them together somehow. Funny.
And it worked. It just, definitely worked. But God, I wish I remembered this.
Mm-hmm. The minute we hear his voice, Eric and the audience know it's Mr. Feeney. Eric admits, what a remarkable and horrifying coincidence. Feeney agrees, horrifying indeed. What are you doing in Beantown? I just love him saying Beantown.
Beantown.
Eric responds, hiding from you, and I failed. Why must you stalk me so? Feeney apologizes for bursting his balloon, but he's waiting for someone else. Eric questions, Corey? Which again, I love.
Yeah.
Continuing the idea that you have to either be in school or gardening. Yep. And if you're not with me, you must be with Corey.
So
funny. Feeney exclaims, no, I'm waiting for a special lady friend of mine to have dinner in the hotel. Eric,
you can never
know.
Just say special lady friend, right? Like,
not anymore. You can't.
I love saying lady friend. I don't say special lady friend, but I like a gentleman friend and a lady friend.
Wow. I always think Big Lebowski's my special lady friend, man.
I've like, never seen that movie.
But yeah. Oh,
what?
What?
No. I've never
You've never seen Big Lebowski?
Can we do a Big Lebowski recap? Are you kidding me?
Dude.
I don't know if that ties in with our core audience, but
dude.
No, I've never. I've never
once the audience hears that you've never seen Big Lebowski, we're going to.
Dude.
Send us letters, Melissa. Come on. Let's get this
send
going.
Us letter, Melissa.
Oh, my God.
I mean, we could have an entire podcast that would go on for years if it was just writer and Will play movies that Danielle's never seen. Because there are so many things I've never seen.
Yeah.
But that's one of them.
It can be super condescending. You've never seen this?
Wow. Oh my God. Let us mansplain.
Let's do film school and mansplain Godfather 2 to you.
This is movies, Danielle. Just sit down and
we'll watch. I don't know if you've ever heard what a director does, but...
I honestly could use an education in all of it.
I think our next podcast, frankly, should be movies that were important to us as a kid.
Okay, again, I have one I can contribute.
Titanic. Just Titanic.
I'll bet you there is more stuff than that.
Nothing. Nope. There's Jurassic Park and Titanic.
And anything Andy was in.
Biggest movies of all time.
And I don't remember.
She couldn't avoid them.
Have you seen Titanic or Jurassic Park? Because we could watch those. Yeah, we've seen those things.
We've seen those. Okay, great. Well, then so far.
Well, then I'm done. Podcast over.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby. When it comes to Podmeets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only. It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
Eric didn't know Feeny had someone special in Boston. Feeny says he's never told Eric about her before, for the same reason you don't talk about your girlfriends to me. Eric makes an uncomfortable face. It's squeamy.
Because it's squeamy?
Feeny nods. Precisely. But now that you've asked, Eric interrupts. I didn't. Feeny continues anyway. Elizabeth is someone I've known for 15 years, someone I care about deeply. He sadly states that her teaching career is as important to her as his is to him, and she works and lives out of Boston. Eric unenthusiastically responds, a female Feeny, yay.
I love it. And then I kind of wanted to see her.
I got the feeling
that we weren't going to, but yeah. I was like, oh, this actually
I wanted to see her too, yeah.
So let's go back into the Feeny prequel show.
All right.
Is this like a friend when he was married? Is it somebody, is that part of the drama?
No. I think it's after the wife.
Yeah.
It was the first kind of thing he found after the wife, but it was never, you know, that first one you have after the big breakup or your divorce, whatever it is.
Right.
And it
a rebound.
It's never no matter how much you feel about this person, you never capture that original feeling. It's never like fully there. I think that's this relationship. And
you just can't commit.
Maybe they met at a teacher conference.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because Feeny's PTA. Oh, sorry.
Paul Thomas Anderson.
Is that not right?
So Eric asks, how often do you see each other? Feeny says 3 or 4 times a year. And every so often, one of them asks the other to give it all up and move so they can be together.
So Feeny's not staying at the hotel. He's at the B&B.
Right. And so they don't spend the night together.
Right. So he comes to this hotel and then he comes back to just hang out with Eric?
Well, we talk about that a little bit later when he says he's having dinner with her, but then he asks Eric if he wants to go for a bowl of pasta, and I was like,
Feeny eats a lot.
Why is he hungry? He just ate dinner.
10 p.m. pasta
and also,
in Bean Town.
Just because she said no to moving back to Philadelphia with you, why are you not still hanging out with her?
Hooking up.
Is he waiting for marriage?
I don't know.
He and Topanga have very shared values. I didn't know, really. So Eric wonders, you never took her up on it? Feeny replies, nor she me. The asking and saying no has become a bittersweet ritual between us. This year, it's my turn to pop the question. Eric coyly asks, what if she says yes? He laughs. She won't. She'll just smile and ask, can't we keep things the way they are? Then I'll go home. Eric adds, to me and Corey. Again, I love it.
Perfect joke.
Yeah.
Feeny gives him a look. You're killing my story. And I could very easily see a spinoff where these two, Eric and Feeny, move to Boston.
Beantown.
Wow. Just called Beantown.
Feentown.
Feentown.
And then we're back at Feeny's house. Sean walks downstairs dressed in a full structure suit that's 3 sizes too large.
Mm-hmm. A large structure suit.
And like the collarless shirt. It's not a good look, Ryder.
So 90s. The no collar, the collarless everything. I mean, they even mentioned it in, was it Clueless?
Yeah.
Where's my collarless whatever? I mean, that was the look.
Corey, doing his chores, asks, what are you doing here without me? Sean says he's here to work on his school project. And Corey hesitantly asks, why here? Sean admits, I don't have an answer that wouldn't upset you. Can you rotate those 2 plants just a little? Corey isn't dropping it. What's your school project, Sean? No, don't tell me. Yes, tell me. Tell me, but lie. Which again,
great
I love
line.
Too.
Great. Yep.
Sean hands him his clipboard and Corey reads, a bed and breakfast. He laughs. Huh, there's nothing to worry about. But then he continues to read the flyer. $200 a night. Oh, wow. Sean even came up with some advertising. Sean proudly nods, just a little sign up at the airport near duty free. Corey admires the hard work, flipping to the next page. Guests have already checked in, given him credit cards. The Timmers. Just then, an elderly couple walks downstairs, forcing Corey to quickly stand up. Who are you? The woman, in somewhat of a Dutch accent, explains, "We are the Timmers." Corey looks at the credit card. "Of course you are," Sean softly acknowledges. He's going to scream now. And then Corey, on cue, screams, "Sean!"
Cute. End of act.
Cute little setup.
Yeah.
I love everything. Yep. Love all of it up
nice
to this
little
point.
Nice little start of the
really
farce
great.
And everything. Yep.
Yeah, cute. We come back from commercial break. We're at Feeney's house. Corey is still screaming and Sean defends himself. Feeney left us the keys to his house. He knows this is going to happen. He wants this to happen.
I love that. I love that, too. That Sean is so confident because, come on.
Come on.
He's omniscient. Yeah. He knows. And
he knows.
Yes. He left the keys.
This is like the clever self-awareness, yeah. You know, that I really like. Yeah. Yep. When it gets too obvious near the end of the episode, I was rolling my eyes. But here it's fun. Like,
I agree.
Come on,
completely agree.
Yeah.
Corey's flailing his arms. Ah! Sean scolds him. If you're going to stay at my bed and breakfast, you're going to have to keep your voice down. Mm-hmm. The Moore Parks are upstairs napping. Corey turns his flailing into a whimper. Ah! Sean explains, newlyweds, they're here on the honeymoon package. The Timmers are holding a vase of Feeney's and Corey yells at them to put it down. The woman responds, we are the Timmers. Sean says he'll handle it. Suddenly able to speak perfect Dutch to the couple.
Yep. I love that we don't even explain it anymore. Nope. Sean can just do it.
Do it.
And see it for yourself. I leaked it.
That will always be Amsterdam to me.
Yes.
We'll always just be walking the streets of Amsterdam just saying that line.
It started in the plane. You and I sit next to each other on the plane and me being like, so do we know, I mean, how do you say hi? Or I had like a guidebook and you were like, well, you know Dutch. Say, you know, and that's all we can say. You're like, teach me your Dutch. So I taught you how to say these and that's all we could say.
That's all we could say.
Going to hash bars and telling people to throw it in the air.
Exactly.
The
in fact, everything you see is to coop. Yep. Remember that?
Oh, God.
The man obliges, throwing it up in the air in amusement. Corey asks Sean, the Moore Parks and the Timmers. That's it, right? Sean nods. But just then, a new loud couple walks in. Sean greets the couple, the Hex, Arnie and Gloria from Boca.
Oh,
they booked through the last minute club. Arnie yells to his wife, I wanted to stay in a Ritz-Carlton. It's a bed and breakfast. It's a little foofy, no?
And this is where there's a direct Seinfeld reference.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So because then he comes into, there's no minibar, no macadamias. And in an episode of Seinfeld, so Elaine gets a suite at the Plaza and she has to give it to Jerry's parents who then trash it. And they also bring in Uncle Leo, who's there, who eats too many macadamia nuts. And his whole joke is he's just in the background rolling on the bed going, no more nuts. So it had to, when he mentions the macadamias, it's like, okay, they're not even hiding.
And that's like
it.
A reference within a year of it happening. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're on the air at the same time. That's
so it's a straight up Seinfeld reference. Yeah.
So crazy. Well, the couple argues a bit and Sean casually tells Corey, I threw a few bucks to the cabbies. That way they tell them the hotels are full and they bring them right here. Corey loses it, screaming to the guests, out, I want you all out. Sean tries to calm the situation. This is our bellhop. He's rude and obnoxious. Arnie is impressed. I like him. Then hands Feeney's vase to Corey to put it in his room. Corey's in shock, leaning into Sean. I have to kill you now. Gloria then asks where the good shopping is and Sean responds, why don't we ask our concierge? He rings a bell and then Topanga walks down the stairs in a cute little business suit. Mm. Corey can't believe it. Not you, Topanga. How could someone as sweet and honest as you get mixed up in one of Sean's evil schemes? Topanga tells him, because of this. And then she answers the Hex, why don't I show you to your suite and then we can map out your day? Arnie hands her some money. Buy yourself some heels. She shrugs. Yeah. It's a living. So...
Ooh,
Topanga's willing to do anything
by a man
for money.
She'll do it for money. Oh, for heels specifically.
It. Well,
it's like trying to make.
She's not really going to buy heels, I don't think. But
hello,
she,
goodbye. I'm so with them all.
So with them all.
It's just, yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a little. I mean, you're there for the jokes.
Yeah.
But not even Topanga jokes. They're not even Topanga jokes. I mean, how could she not have been the voice of? There's so many things you think about where they could have thrown her in. Where
well,
it could
but
have
I
been.
Do like the reversion, right? Like the idea that like Corey expects her to be against it, and then she is for it. It's just give her a good reason for it,
right? But
right.
What you
she
can easily do
or...
is, I can't believe you're doing this. How could you possibly? Blah blah blah. You know, I've told you this is not going to end well, no matter what you. Actually, the best shopping you want to do is on Fifth Street. You're going to want to blah blah blah. You're going to. It's
right.
Like if you give
like
some kind
too
of
good
a
at
turn,
the job,
right?
Yeah.
She can't
right.
help. She's
yeah.
like, yeah, she can't help but be good at it because she's helpful,
right? Right. Something like that to give her
that's pretty clever. Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, you're
yeah.
right. You're right. She's yeah. like, yeah, accidentally great at
right.
this job.
Yes. Yes.
And somehow keeps helping. They go upstairs, leaving Corey to scold Sean. You will get caught. Sean corrects him. We will get caught. Corey had the key. He's the one who let him in. As far as Feeny's concerned, Corey's the brains. Corey's intrigued. The brains? I rather like that.
I like that. I love that turn. Like, Corey's kind of like, well, maybe I could be the cool
one. I like
one.
This.
Yes.
Corey makes Sean promise that when Feeny gets back, he will find his house exactly as he left it. Sean agrees, just as the Timmers appear behind him, asking in Dutch if yet another vase from Feeny's house is for sale. Sean responds, in Dutch. Do you remember this one?
Yeah, and fight all hit in you ziet is to coop.
So good. Yeah. And he says, yes, in fact, everything you see is for sale. Corey nods, completely unaware of what the three are saying. And then we're back at the Boston Hotel. Eric is still at the bar and the bartender says, it's sweet of you to wait for your... What is he exactly? Eric answers, he's my next door neighbor. He used to be my teacher. And he's real concerned about where my life is going. What would you call that? She answers, I'd call that a friend. Eric seems less sure. Feeny? A friend? Okay. The bartender tells Eric, I get off work in 10 minutes and you seem nice. How about I buy you dinner?
Whoa. Will and the
These
older ladies. Eric
older
and
ladies know. Who know he's not even old enough
he's
to
He's not
have
even old enough
drink.
To drink. They set that up to where it's like, you are clearly not 21, so you can't.
Yes.
But by the way, you look very old in this episode. You,
I know, you do look
you
mature.
Look very mature. I was like, God, thank Will's you. Like, you know, you're looking like 25.
Okay.
Yeah, so. It's surprising to me that the joke in that first scene is that she immediately knows you're
young
because obviously you within the dialogue you're overstepping, but here I was like, Will actually looks it makes sense that this woman might flirt with him. But
now I have a question again, the giant rewrite machine. Do you think it would have been better in the first scene if instead of revealing Feeny by sliding the root beer, because then it means that she might not know that Eric is the right age.
Yes.
If she does go to serve him alcohol and you hear Feeny say something like...
Censors wouldn't have allowed it.
Even if Feeny steps in and he's like,
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. Like, I have a feeling that's one of those debates we would have had, you know, during a note session.
But you do whole episodes later, don't you? Where you're drinking underage.
It's a special episode, right?
Right.
You can't make a joke out of it.
Yeah.
I think you like trying to get alcohol has to be immediately shut down. I don't know. That would be my thought is that they would have immediately been like, no, you can't make a joke out of it.
Yeah. Because that was the only strange thing about this for me was they literally set it up to where she instantly knows he isn't old enough to drink.
Right.
And then kind of asks him out.
Well, and then this also like, I understand that there's this necessary tension of like Eric having to choose between the girl of his dreams and Feeny, but it also kind of doesn't make sense because you go have this whole moment with Feeny and then you could still go out with the girl.
I know.
At the end of the
but
scene,
then
you're
Feeny
like,
asks for dinner. He goes, do you want to go to dinner?
But Feeny's already been to dinner.
I know, which doesn't make any sense. Yeah,
wanted to really set up your friendship and the idea of you going off to have a one night stand with the bartender doesn't propel any story forward.
Right. No, totally. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby. When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago, and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
So anyway, the DTF bartender is just asked Eric out to dinner, and Eric responds, as long as it wouldn't interfere with my loyalty to my friend. Perfectly timed, Feeney walks into the dining room. The cougar bartender wonders, isn't that him now? Without turning around, Eric replies, it has to be, because something good was going to happen in my life. And she laughs, something really good.
You're just going for
my
it.
Gosh, she's not even wearing a leather jacket. Imagine how fast they would already be making out.
Oh
yeah. My God, for sure. The audience woohoos loudly because they really want to see this one night stand happen. Eric tries to make this work, but see, it's my first convention away from home, and dinner with a lady bartender would be. He turns around to look at Feeney, who looks sad as hell. Eric announces, I hate everything. The bartender sweetly kisses him on the cheek, aww, the same way Feeney kisses Amy Matthews, gaining another woo from this incredibly saucy audience.
Horned up crowd.
Ooh.
Horned up crowd.
That is a crowd that is ready to nosh. Let me tell you.
90s audiences, man. You got to take it where you can get it.
Listen, prisoners are rowdy.
So desperate.
Feeney's sitting alone at a table looking glum, wishing for a salad, probably. Eric sits with him and asks if he's all right. Feeney answers, every year I look forward to seeing her, and every year we part company, knowing that we care for each other, but not enough to give up the lives we've made.
Now, when this happened, I thought it was going to be something a little more, like something would have turned, and I was afraid that she didn't show up.
I thought she was dead.
She was dead. I thought this was going to be a very special episode.
She had met somebody else and told him that she was marrying somebody else.
That's great.
That's what I had.
She was committing. Yeah. But to somebody there.
That's what I thought about.
Yeah, because this didn't feel like enough of a turn. It kind of feels like the same scene we've already had, just a little deeper, which,
Because aren't they then going to do the same thing next year? I mean, nothing's changed, so the relationship hasn't ended. They're going to do exactly the same thing next year.
I mean, I guess I can see the idea, though, that for whatever reason this year, Feeney goes, why do we do this? Why? Because it does become about, why won't I take the risk?
Mm-hmm.
And his question then to himself is it about the person not being worth the risk?
Right. And then you can end on hope in the tag a little bit, too, because he sees the old couple and it's like, maybe he will go back to Elizabeth.
Right.
And so it's about him, not about her. If it was out of his control, like if she had already rejected him or chosen somebody else, then you wouldn't have that hope in the tag. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. We talked through it.
God, I got to see this prequel. Because I want to see Feeney actually in love. I want to see that so badly.
Right.
I mean, we get to see it later, obviously, with Bollinger, but I want to see that early Feeney and that the love of his life.
I know. I do, too. Eric is thrilled. You pop the question. She said yes, and you're stuck good. Feeney admits, no. She said no. We always say no. Why do we always say no? Eric bluntly states, because you don't really love each other. And Feeney asks, how would you know that, Mr. Matthews? And Eric says, if you did, you'd risk anything for that love, even the lives you've made and find comfortable. Feeney wonders if at this stage in his life, his risk-taking days are over. Maybe he never appreciated the value of taking a risk, and that's why he's missed the chance at true love. And I wanted to yell, a second time, you mean, because your marriage to Lillian was real love.
Yeah. Yep.
This, besides the like, I couldn't get over the fact that Will's holding a root beer like a beer, which just drove me crazy the whole time.
Like, but not to mention
nursing your third.
I was
root
like,
beer?
I was gonna either nursing it or I'm on like my 11th root beer of the night. So
I know,
so
I think
crazy.
It's your 11th root beer.
Beyond that awkwardness, this is. I was having this very bizarre experience watching this scene, being like, why is this so familiar? It's because this is the most Will I've ever seen Eric.
Oh,
like you are
right.
So relaxed, and it felt like
you're
every
right.
time I've had dinner
like
with Will.
No,
it didn't feel like you weren't doing bits. You weren't also doing like, because, you know, I feel like you've had modes. You're either like, you know, being funny or being very emotional and dramatic. And instead in this scene, you're just like, you know, he's the one that's having this sort of moment and you're just being a supportive character. And it was so fun to just see you. I was like, oh, this is what dinner with Will's like. This is what I felt Will for like a pure Will throughout this entire scene. I was like, this is, so if anybody wants to know what Will is actually like when he's not, you know, on, this is it. This is what like Will Friedle, this is dinner with Will Friedle. And it was a good feeling. It filled me with like, so, you know, down the line when I, you know, when if you ever leave my life or vanish,
you know,
some,
go back to this.
I know that I can watch this scene and get the same feeling.
Yeah. That's sweet.
Eric tries to relate. I felt that same way when I broke up with Debbie. He leans in. You remember that? Feeny quickly responds, no. Eric explains, he's still plugging away because he believes true love can come at any time. Feeny states, until then, I will continue my life teaching my students. Eric, who learned this from a nearby horned-up bartender just minutes ago, says, Feeny has more than his students. He has his friends. Feeny nods. If you haven't had your dinner yet, I thought we might grab a bowl of pasta on the North End. Eric sighs. It's his first night in Boston. He was thinking of something a little riskier. Maybe you and me can go out, hit the town, check out the action.
What does that mean? What do you do?
Strip club? Yeah, strip club. Boston
strip
club.
Is that code?
I don't know. You're asking me. I think I've been to one strip club my entire life. I have no idea the code.
The code I always knew, like when you work on a film and you say you're going to check out the local ballet.
What?
And that was code for
going
to a strip club.
That's an actual code for going to a strip club?
I don't know. It was a code. When we were doing Cabin Fever, that's what everybody said. Like, oh, if you check out the local ballet? And it was like, you're getting asked to go to a strip club. Right.
I would have been sitting at a ballet by myself going, where the hell is everybody?
Where is everybody?
They told me they were going to go to this ballet.
What the hell's going on? But the action. I was like, what is the action? What does that mean?
I know.
It's so weird.
Maybe. I mean, the other thing is, because I would think normally that this means let's go to a bar.
Yeah.
Let's
probably all
it
means.
You can't even get into a bar.
Right.
We've already been over that.
Right.
So they can't even go bar hopping or anything. So I.
Danielle, have you ever been to a strip club?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably more than both of you combined.
I'm probably sure. Okay.
So this is where I was wondering, Feeny wanting a second dinner makes no sense to me. And it did make me think. Is he hiding something? Did she not show up? Is she dead? I don't know. It was confusing to me that he was still hungry. Feeny asks, you mean crews for chicks? And Eric smirks, and their mothers.
Wait.
But I'm pretty sure you mean, and their grandmothers. What?
Sure, I've got a
Feeny
question.
Feeny could be interested in a 35-year-old, 40-year-old woman.
I got a question.
Yeah.
What if dinner with Feeny and his lady friend really means they were doing the deed, so they didn't eat, which is why he's now hungry afterwards. Like they're having that conversation in bed about, do you want to be with me forever? No, I'm not going to do that. It's
so
like,
it's
okay.
Totally just a hotel.
It's they hook up.
What
he says, we see each other 3 or 4 times a year. They meet at this hotel. They're not, he's staying at the B&B.
Right.
So it's like, it's not, they don't spend the night.
You think it makes this hotel charges by the hour?
Maybe that's where she's staying.
It makes it sadder. I wish they could have made that a little bit more, you know, explicit, because that would have been, that's even sadder that Feeny's like, you know, I actually kind of want more from now.
Right, and he wants more, and they always do every year. They just do each other essentially every year, a couple times a year, and then he's hungry and he wants his thing. Exactly. Oh my God.
I don't know, guys. I don't know. I think we've maybe thought too much about it.
I think we've
I don't think we thought enough about it.
Sitcom, guys. Relax.
Stop thinking.
God, can you just have fun with the show? It's a B&B.
Ugh. They both
stand
up.
He's an old teacher. It's funny. Old guy, funny. wants to get it on.
Eric admits, I don't understand this friendship. Feeny throws his arms up. Neither do I. They walk out, leaving behind a bartender who was, by the way, a way less risky move than going out. You have a sure thing.
Yeah.
Maybe she's got a friend.
Or a grandma. Or a grandma. Exactly.
Then we are back in Feeny's house. Corey, now in a tux, joyfully plays the piano as Topanga and the bed and breakfast guests gather around him, singing in unison.
I love how Corey plays the piano, though. It's one of my favorite. He's just sitting at the piano.
Do you remember this, Danielle?
I do.
You don't?
Not one little bit.
All week long. This was the greatest thing. Okay, so this was, so fun because, first of all, Ben just loves singing. And loves the
loves
bit.
Musicals.
You can tell how much fun he's having. He just, like, this has been in his element. So the idea that he got to, like, play. So they, during rehearsal, they brought a piano in onto the side of the stage. Like, not even in the set, but on, like, a real piano onto the side of the stage. Which is just, when I think about that, like, how cool is life when you're on a set? They're just like, we need to rehearse for the week. Let's bring a piano. So Ray Colcord sat at the piano and taught us all this song, and we sat around. We all sang it. I thought I sang it in the episode because I remember singing it all together and Bill calling me out for being a horrible singer.
Did he really?
Yeah. We were all like, by the line of the silvery moon, you know, and just coming up with all the bits of like, by the moon, by, and having so much fun. And Bill just being like, Someone's off. And then he just pointed to me and he's like, and I think it's this one here. And we just laughed. I will never forget it because, you know, like, I'm not a great singer. I'm always off key. And I was like, oh, Bill Daniels just called me out.
He laughed and
walked away. And I was like, he's right.
I remember that song.
Betsy is a great singer and loves singing. So she was like a big part of it. And she and Ben used to always do musicals together. They would always be singing musicals and like and so this was just such a fun moment to, you know, and you can see how much fun Ben's having with it. It was so great.
And I don't like singing and I don't like musicals. And so I was probably just like, get this week over, not having fun this week.
Get into that French maid outfit.
Exactly. I was probably excited about that. Mm-hmm. Was not quite as excited.
Because you had actually dressed up as a French maid for our first Halloween season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If I could have been a French maid as a job, I probably would have taken that role.
Did you have to be French? Couldn't you have just cleaned it up?
That's boring. It's boring. You have to wear the accoutrement. So Arnie is especially getting into the song. The song ends and they all tip Corey for his performance. Sean appears on the stairwell telling everyone there's news from the honeymoon suite. The Moorparks have eaten. The crowd cheers in excitement. Topanga reminds Gloria, don't forget about the sunrise nature walk tomorrow morning. Wear comfortable shoes. Arnie asks Topanga, chocolate mint? She doesn't hesitate. Right on your pillow. Arnie turns to Corey, Mr. Lucky. Corey looks at Topanga lovingly. I know. Corey counts his tips. 42.50.
And this is the entirety of the relationship.
We have not developed.
She's a good woman.
About their relationship.
Well, they like the Flintstones. They have a lot of shared interests, according to Will. So
right.
No, it's one thing.
One episode. Yeah. So that's all that matters. Writer. She likes the stuff he likes. We're good.
We're good.
How about they both like the same stuff? Yeah. Instead of she likes what he likes.
Well, that's all it needs. She just needs to say, I also like the stuff you like. Good.
He tells Sean, now we can afford that public defender. And he emphasizes, I cannot do time. Sean laughs.
Now we can afford the public defender is a great line.
Great line.
It's a great
Sean
line.
Laughs. They won't get caught. They've grown as schemers. Sean has finally rubbed off on Corey. He's as shady as him now, and he just has to deal with it. Corey responds, wrong. The universe will catch up to us. I trust the universe. Sean sighs, the universe better hurry up because they're all leaving tomorrow. All we have to do is make it through breakfast, and we didn't get caught. Corey panics. We have to get caught at breakfast. He points up at the sky. You hear me? Sean stops him. Wait a minute. Are we feeding them at breakfast? Corey nods. There it is. So it's all very confusing.
I think it's almost really funny. Because the idea is like,
so close.
The idea is, and I think Corey just needed to set it up a little bit more like something's going to happen.
Right.
That's going to be the thing that we didn't think about. That, you know, just set it up a little bit better. Because the joke is like, there it is like the universe is right. But if you just made it a little more specific, because it is kind of funny.
We've made jokes before about tee it up.
This is a case of actually
could have been teed up.
Could have been teed up a little more.
Could have been teed up a tiny
bit. Well, the problem is, I think, and this is the problem with the whole universe thing, is that it takes away tension between us. If Corey is angry with the universe or pointing everything to the universe, it takes away from the two of us debating or arguing. And I'm super confident and cocky and don't care. Yep. And I'm not fazed by him. And he's not yelling at me anymore. So it loses tension. It actually dissolves it. If he had been turning to me being like, something's going to happen and you're going to be the first, you know, and then I'm like, ooh, I didn't think about breakfast. Uh-huh. Then it's on me. Then he can say, there it is. I don't know. It's a little, yeah.
No, you're right.
And then the pancakes.
Do you remember the pancakes? It's not very at all, funny. Actually. Really?
Yeah. Very funny bit. Yeah.
Oh, so funny. So then we're in the Matthews kitchen. Alan, Amy, and Corey are just sitting down for breakfast. Alan reaches for a giant stack of pancakes at the table, but Corey slaps his hand away. I think it's only fitting that we bow our heads and give thanks for the food in front of us. Amy and Alan are suspicious, but they bow their heads anyway. Corey pushes them lower. Then Corey begins to say thanks and starts throwing pancakes blindly over his head to Sean, who we see in the backyard, side yard, catching every single pancake. I cannot believe you don't remember this.
Yeah. We only would have done it like the one time, right? Like during rehearsal, we never would have had pancakes. So it was just finally on the tape day, they would have brought them in and like...
They would have had something for you to catch.
They would have had something for you to catch on run-throughs.
They had fake pancakes for you. Yeah.
The thought, the ability to throw from kitchen into the backyard and me actually catch it. I don't know. Yeah, I don't remember it, but it's
I mean,
it's
I do
funny.
Know we used, I think, at least I think, we used to cut more corners during rehearsal and run-throughs. Mm-hmm. Now, I am amazed. It's never not once caught me off guard that on day one for producer run-through.
All the props and everything?
Everything, props.
Really?
I mean, I'm saying
it's smart.
On day
it's
one
smart.
Rehearsal, we rehearse with full props.
That's smart,
actually. Are you going to have your purse? Put your purse on. Are you going to have that? Grab that now. Every single
smart.
One.
Smart.
It's smart. It puts more of the onus on the writing to stay the way it is. Like, you know, leaving it more sort of improv-y and like open or like actually allows for more rewrites. But that's interesting that they're getting more nailed down.
Yeah, no. And
do you find that the scripts are changing less than compared to like back in the 90s?
Yes, the scripts definitely change less. But also, you know, there are times where sometimes whether it's network or it's an EP who will say, listen, I love what's the basis of what's here, but these individual characters need to have, you know, and then kind of significant stuff will change. But nothing like what we used to do, where on a tape night, walk out and a pencil down a page and rewrite.
Yep.
Nothing like that.
But I also feel like you would have avoided some of the problems that I remember always having, which is a prop showing up on tape day and it being not what is wanted. And what is this? This can't be right. And then you can't go and get it. So like having all the props and art department stuff as early as possible is only good, really.
And it helps you as a director too, because you know whether or not something is going to work. Yep. And if it's not going to work, what you're going to need in order to make it work. And everyone can start to have time to do that. So, I mean, because I do, I've thought before, like, we didn't used to do that. We didn't have props on day one. But, you know, I feel like by the time we got to network run through, you would have had something to catch.
Maybe.
So then we're in Feeney's house. Corey walks down the stairs triumphantly. We did it. The upstairs is in shambles and every dish Feeney owns is in the sink. He wants to get caught so he can be at peace. Without punishment, Corey's world loses both form and meaning. Sean questions, you were one of those kids that enjoyed getting spanked, weren't you?
Such a great beat. Yeah.
So funny. Corey admits, I always deserved it. Gloria Heck walks down the stairs with cleaning supplies. You made us feel so welcome, we all tidied up after ourselves. Oh, and Nona did all the dirty dishes. Corey raises his arms to the sky. Don't you know it's us? Corey says he's not comfortable with this. In the old days, they'd be standing there patting themselves on the back, and then the doorknob would start turning. And then the doorknob does start turning. And as Corey predicted, Feeney waltzes in. Corey thanks the universe for caring about them, but then Feeney notices he forgot his overnight bag. He needs to run back to the cab to get it. This can still be pulled off. All they have to do is get their guests checked out in the next 15 seconds. Corey refuses. It's over, and he is at peace. The group of guests then magically walk out of the side room. Gloria tells her husband that they need to leave in the next 5 seconds so they don't miss their flight. The Timmers agree to split a taxi with them, and Corey and Sean watch the conversation in awe. Sean thanks them for staying, reminding them he has their deposits and will hold their rooms for Christmas. Corey reminds him Feeney is right outside the door, so it's over. He's going towards the white light. But on cue, Arnie tells the group, let's go out the back way. I want to take that bench with me. Just as the group leaves, Feeney walks back through the front door. Sean exclaims, here she is, Mr. Feeney, your house. Does she look the same? Corey's ready for the punishment, but Feeney admires. The credenza is nicely polished. Plants look well sunned. Corey points to Sean that the statue is missing. Arnie took it. Feeny then also notices it's gone. Corey shouts, I confess, all is right with the world. From the side room, just beyond vision, Arnie hands Corey the statue. Sean quickly hands it to Feeny, saying they were just giving it a quick polish. Feeny tells the boys they did a wonderful job. Corey is stunned, and Sean walks toward the front door. As they're walking away, Feeny asks, how much money did you actually make? Corey throws his hands in the air. Thank you so much. And he gives Feeny a big hug. He points to the sky. I knew you still cared about me.
Hold on. Did you notice the giant break?
No. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for
oh
you.
Oh, my God. Yeah, then I lose it. Yes. This is one of the clearest times where we are just completely breaking character. And I think what was supposed to happen is that it was written as both of us doing the
And then he didn't do it. He goes out, and then we look at each other.
You can see him turn and look at me like, I didn't do it. And I'm looking, what are you doing? Yeah. And so we clearly just
and
lost
they kept it.
It. Like,
and they kept it.
And they kept it. It's yep. so funny. Oh my God. And that is just us like looking at each other like, you. Oh. And I don't know so if it was funny. Him being intentional or me. Maybe it was like we are supposed to do something. I don't, but we're out of sync and we're just right. laughing at each other for being out of sync. So funny.
I love it when they use those. You wonder, yeah. like, was that the best they had? Or did they also
just
like
liked the energy?
The energy
probably.
In it.
Yeah, like the energy. Yeah.
I have a quick question, not to go back to a very old conversation that we've had 1,000 times, but in Feeny's yard that we see all the time,
the dead bodies,
the dead body yard. The Azalea Yard. Mm-hmm. Is there a bench?
There's no. There's like there have been those chairs that he sat right. with Corey.
Right.
But he says, let's go out the back. I want us to take the bench.
It could be the back side where it could be like the side you're talking about where you think is the backyard.
Mm. Right.
Because remember his, because isn't house? His car, isn't that where he parked his car?
I guess. I know. It's in Escher House. I was just, every time now there's a little nugget. I'm like,
Yeah.
I don't know.
Guys, it's a 90s sitcom. Relax.
Just have fun.
Have fun.
So glad you're here to remind us to just enjoy ourselves.
That's, you know, that's my
some
part of this.
Some people overanalyze
podcast.
This stuff, but you've really found
just
your niche.
They dig too deep and they care too much.
You know, when we were talking about our roles on this podcast, writer is the fun one was just exactly. We were like, writer's here to provide the joy and the fun
and the
comedy. Relaxation.
Yep.
You guys want to dance? Let's do a TikTok video. Come on. Who's going to lip sync? No. Come on. You guys don't have any fun anymore.
I feel like the world might be coming to an end. Something's happening.
Sean asks Feeny how he knew, and Feeny admits it was actually the cab driver. I gave him my address. He said he knew the place well, and I should get the room with the jacuzzi. Sean sighs. Ah,
deportation
I forgot to
joke.
Deport the cab Jesus. Driver.
And then you break again.
Right. That's the moment I was remembering.
And then
it's
you break
you
again.
Breaking.
Yep.
Deport the cab driver. That's awful.
Like, Sean, no, that's fine.
Just kick out some Sean's hardworking ice. Immigrants. Nice work.
Yeah,
nice
exactly.
work.
Who's completely hooked me up all week
yeah,
long.
Yeah, exactly.
Weekend long.
Yep.
I'm just going to deport him. Uh-huh. Awful.
Corey asks, so I guess you want the money back? Feeny responds, I think that'd be appropriate. Sean hands him the cash and asks how much trouble he's in. Feeny's astounded at the amount of money they made. The usual, Mr. Hunter. Sean's confused and Feeny explains, you took a risk and I happen to have a soft spot now for risk takers. Corey whispers to his best friend, take another risk and ask for the money back. Sean doesn't hesitate. Can I have the money back?
That's Feeny. You not stopping in between the two, like running over it was the perfect way to read that joke. It was
great. It really was.
You should ask for the money back. Can we have the money back?
That's high praise coming from you.
That was great.
Feeny tells him, yes, you can when you're in college. You already proved to yourself that you have a future in business. That and a college education, you'll do fine. Sean smiles. He's going to be okay in this world. He doesn't have to be a criminal. And I love the way this is all resolved.
Yep.
So kind of like, hey, I don't have to rob banks is hilarious. Like, I love that. Corey tells him, and the universe is a better town for that. Could have done with one less universe.
One
reference.
Less universe thing.
And then we're in the tag. We're in Feeny's house. Continuing, Feeny repeatedly knocks on the door to his bedroom, but he gets no response. He yells, I understand that you're the honeymoon couple, and I appreciate the fact that you've paid for two nights, but I must insist that you vacate my bedroom immediately. Checkout time is now. Topanga nonchalantly creeps up behind him in a French maid outfit, carrying cleaning supplies, but quickly darts away when she sees Feeny. No one apparently clued her in.
Just bailed without
funny.
Her.
Just get Topanga in a French maid outfit. Let's do it.
Feeny leans back into the doorway. It's not that I can't identify with two young people in love. I was young once. I know that when love comes, you must seize it, lest it slip away through the sands of time. I was young once. The door finally opens, and it is an extremely old couple, looking extremely happy. Feeny is stunned at first, but then he lets out a little chuckle as soft piano music plays in the background. He says to himself, perhaps I still am. Aww. Would have been funny if he had the bartender on speed dial here. Thank you all for joining us for this episode of Pod Meets World. You can follow us on Instagram, Pod Meets World Show. You can send us your emails, podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And we have merch.
Commodity, material, product, stock, stuff, effects, line, number, produce, second, staple, truck, wares. God, you're right. The thesaurus world, it just sucks you in, my friend.
Okay. Okay.
Podmeetsworldshow.com. Please join us for our next episode recap, which will be season 4, episode 14, Wheels, which originally aired January 17th, 1997. Will, send us out.
We love you all. Pod dismissed. Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production Danielle Romo. Producer and editor Tara Sudbach. Producer Maddie Moore. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon, and you can follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby. When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash credit card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.